pleased to be joined now, Elmer Ferguson Award winner, good friend of hockey media and Brian Burke for a long time as well. The man we know as KPD, Kevin Paul DuPont, joining the broadcast. How are you today, Kevin?
Gentlemen, you too, Berkey. How's everything?
We know what to expect now for this one. Excellent. We've set the ground rules. We've talked a lot off the top about the St. Louis Blues, holding as much as we can about the Boston Bruins for when you joined the program. So talked a little bit about Brad Marchand, and I still think that the 1-0 goal in Game 6 is a shot that very few in the NHL can make. But I want to get your thoughts on Zdeno Chara and where you see, and listen, we all know about the broken jaw and, you know, how he's been able to play and, you know, where he's at in his career. What have you seen from Zdeno Chara in these playoffs so far, Kevin?
What you always see, will and determination. Obviously, his legs aren't what they were even 2 years ago. He's not as mobile, but he is a great force back there, and much of it, of course, is due to size and reach. If you watch his game, you know, day to day, everyone talks about his ferocity and his size and his strength, but it's very few times you actually see him take someone into the boards and finish them. Now, if he really wanted to do that, they'd be probably taking people out in body bags, but that really is not his game. I mean, his ability to shut down that whole side of the ice just by his, frankly, his intelligence and his reach, which is what he's been relying on. If you want to, you know, tighten the focus and just look at these last two games, I've really been impressed, and I'm sure most people have, just that he's, you know, working with, I assume, a liquid diet because of the jaw.
Yep.
And the pain he must have endured in terms of the injury itself, and then the surgery within 48 hours at Mass General. So I was making a case last night on Twitter that I felt he should be in the Conn Smythe discussion. You know, now people take that as voting him first. I wouldn't do that, but just by will, determination, leadership, there aren't many people who would endure what he has here and still be playing.
So, Kevin, I'm going to turn back the clock here a little bit. This is how long I've known Kevin. I knew Kevin right when I got out of law school. So I used to play rugby when I was in law school and for a couple of years afterwards. And Sunday morning, I'd be so beat up from the game on Saturday. I would go to the corner store, buy the Boston Sunday Globe, and sit in the tub and soak and read it. And it was a murderer's row. The columnists and people they had working for the Boston Globe Sports back in 1980, Chamberlain, Shaughnessy, McDonough, Ryan, DuPont, McMullen, Powers, like it was a Hall of Fame, and it made my Sunday. So that's where I go back with Kevin. So, Kevin, this is not new for you covering Stanley Cup finals with this team. I wanted to talk about, not about Marchand or Chara, but about, I think, the most complete player in the game, Patrice Bergeron. What have you seen from him in the playoffs?
Well, we haven't seen in this last round, we haven't seen, and frankly, and roll back here, I'd be remiss. Thank you for that recollection. Some of those guys went on, made something of their careers, but I'm still here. What I've seen of Bergeron is, especially in the first couple of rounds, is what we see all the time, is 200-foot game, always in the right place. Not a guy who says a lot, but certainly in the room in terms of leadership, paramount to this team. He's hurting, though. There's no question he's hurting. He won't say. The French media asked him earlier in this series, and he was tight-lipped about it. He said a little more to them, which was, I think it was game six. He said, I'm playing game six. So he's not right, but he is still in the right place. And when I say he's not right, you can see him at the face-off dot. You know, these last three games, he struggled there. That's rare for him. He's not shooting as much. He's not as sharp offensively around the net, but still, you know, I suspect what we're going to get from both sides, Berkey, is the long list of guys who've been dealing with injuries. And my guess with Bergeron, it's something to do with groin or hernia that's been plaguing him for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Kevin, I like your tweet this morning. I love the smell of vulcanized rubber in the morning, right? So that's that's a nice way to...
Do any issues with the Zamboni drivers today, Kevin? I heard there was yesterday.
Yeah, I got a little tense over there, I guess. So, more gamesmanship and good on Army for trying it, I guess. I mean, who's he really going to offend with that? But find out if they if they don't take care of his end of the ice tonight.
I think the Zamboni driver would love that, the opposing general manager getting irate. And I wonder a little bit, okay, in the game of rock, paper, scissors, does it trump the fact that St. Louis wasted their best opportunity at home in game six, or does their incredible road play in general in the playoffs trump that?
Yeah, certainly a great question. What really took them, and I can't say it took them off their game, but the first goal was paramount. You talked about Marchand making that shot. When it got to 1-0, the Bruins go out, they play better, as virtually every team does, playing downhill with the lead. And I thought that over the course of the night, I thought initially St. Louis came out with that forechecking game. I thought it was going to be the hammers of hell again. But as soon as that 1-0 went in, I didn't see that from them. So that's their opportunity. That's their game. If they're going to win this tonight, I think it's got to be based on sheer force, strength, and trying to intimidate the Bruins by pressing it in the Bruins' end. I didn't see that. If they don't come out with that game, frankly, I think they're finished. They can't win it on the power play. The Bruins have eaten them up 17-for-18 on the PK. The Bruins have played very well with the lead throughout the playoffs. I think they've got the better goaltending in Rask. So I think it plays heavily to their favor. That doesn't mean they're going to win. But if St. Louis is really going to hang in there, make it a game, or come out of here with a cup, it's got to be based on that ferocity of the forecheck.
Let me ask you about Tuukka Rask, because, part of the history of Tuukka Rask is having stretches where his game isn't there. And fans have grown accustomed, the Bruins have grown accustomed to Tuukka Rask having the odd clunker here and there. But somehow, throughout this entire playoff, that hasn't happened, Kevin. At what point did fans, did the Bruins, did everybody in Boston start to have a confidence in Tuukka Rask, the likes of which we saw, I guess, with Tim Thomas in 2011?
Frankly, I don't know if it's there yet, and
really?
I don't say it. Yeah, I don't say it facetiously, which is, it's been hard for me to believe, because frankly, if you look at Thomas's numbers in 11, and you look at Rask's numbers in the 13 run when Timmy was gone, the numbers are in lockstep. The numbers are in lockstep with what Timmy won the Conn Smythe with. Still, they didn't embrace him, and part of it was because of what happened in 13, which is it's game six. They're up a goal late. Yeah. It's here at the Garden. It looks like they're going to Chicago for game seven, and it's bing, bing. It's two goals in, I think, less than 17 seconds, and that has been hanging on him ever since. Unfairly, in my opinion, because he's got the most wins in franchise history. He is reliable. I would say his biggest fault in terms of consistency is he has gotten off to some slow starts, including this year when he asked for a leave of absence in November. He took a weekend off, came back, took about 3 weeks, and he got on a hot run. So if you look at those numbers, 11 to 13, not only they're in lockstep with this year, they're virtually identical to his numbers in the playoffs here in 19. So I think he's an elite goaltender. I think some years he's in the top 3 to 5. Some years he's in the top 8 to 10. If you watch enough goaltending, I'm sure you guys, and I know you guys have, that tends to change. There are guys who are in that top 10. They disappear forever. They come back 2 or 3 years later. Consistently, I would say he's been in there.
Berkey, want to finish this up here with Kevin?
No, I've heard enough of him.
Perfect.
Hey, who's gonna wave the flag? What about, I thought Tim Thomas would be great, but I guess it's kind of estranged, is it?
It's strange to the point they don't know where he is. From what I understand, he's moved around.
He's in the bunker.
He's been in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the bunker. He's in Idaho. The last I heard, he's in Florida. There's a lot of talk that it'll be Tom Brady. Doesn't quite play well to my ear. I would want it to be a hockey guy.
Yeah.
I would love it to be a collection of the guys from 70 or there's, off the top of my head, six or seven of their retired numbers, including Neely and Bork and Middleton, Esposito, and he's a little bit estranged. That's probably, from a historical perspective, that's where I'd go. But I can tell you, from a fan perspective, overwhelmingly, it's Brady.